It's time for Marshall Wealth Radio with Mike Marshall. Mike specializes in servicing his clients' overall financial needs, including asset management, retirement planning, estate planning, and insurance planning. And now, your host of Marshall Wealth Radio, Rod Fritz.
Hello, and welcome to Marshall Wealth Radio on WRKO. I'm Rod Fritz, along with Mike Marshall, CEO and founder of Marshall Wealth Management. And Mike, welcome once again to WRKO.
Thank you, sir. Happy to be back at RKO.
Absolutely. You know, there's a lot going on. I happen to be, I have a background in news, so I happen to be checking the news all the time. And I wanted to go through some things here with you, which probably will affect a few people's pocketbooks. And the first thing has to do with student loans.
Oh, yeah.
Where the president, President Biden, is considering a student loan forgiveness. Now, he says he's not considering $50,000.
No, that was the rumor originally.
That is exactly.
I think that was wishful thinking on the part of a lot of people.
He now says he is considering around $10,000 of a debt forgiveness. He hasn't made that decision yet that we know of, that we're aware of. He said it's going to be a couple of weeks before he makes a final decision on that.
He's going to tease us a little bit just before the November elections.
Right. Now, the president's comments are likely to disappoint advocates and some Democrats, including Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer of New York. They've been pushing for the $50,000 or more per borrower of student loans.
Right. And Schumer, don't forget, is from his own party. Democrat.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, to have a powerhouse senator like Senator Schumer, you know, asking for 50 and you deciding on whether or not you want to give 10, that's a way to ruffle some feathers in my eyes.
Well, without a doubt. Now, speaking of ruffling feathers, canceling $10,000 per borrower would wipe out, are you ready? $321 billion of federal student loans. And it would eliminate the entire balance for nearly 12 million people out there. Around 70% of student loan borrowers would still be left with some debt.
Right. And so the problem is that although it's a nice gesture, when you look at the size of student debt, it's a dent, nothing more than a dent in the debt that we've accumulated by giving out so much in student loans over the past 30 years. I mean, if you look on the balance sheet of the American economy, you'll see that student loan debt is one of our very largest assets. So, you know, if people don't pay the loans back, that means that that asset is dropping in size, and that's not a good thing.
No. And as I understand it, the debt will be forgiven to the borrower, but the debt will still be paid by Uncle Sam.
Which is you and I, Rod.
Correct. You are correct, sir. Well, we'll see about that. That, of course, is going to impact all of us, isn't it?
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I mean, student debt is a problem in this country. And for many, many people, their debt is preventing them from moving on in their lives, preventing them from having children, getting married, buying their first home. Do you remember like 15, 20 years ago? They told us that the young people weren't going to buy homes anymore. They're just going to rent. That went out the window, huh?
Yeah.
As soon as they got married and had children, they realized this is renting thing doesn't make any sense. Not for long term. Short term, it makes a lot of sense. But long term, renting doesn't make sense. If you have the means to purchase, you should do so.
You know, another thing that's been in the news, and we discussed it a little bit last week on the show here on Marshall Wealth Radio, and that was supply chain woes.
Yeah, and it doesn't get any better this week either.
Yeah, it continues, doesn't it?
It's really bad, and I think the war in Ukraine now is really being felt in many different industries. The steel industries, obviously oil and gas, and it's not going to get any better quickly. It's going to be a situation where we're going to have to find alternative energy sources. And we know this now. And that's the reason this huge push is on for solar and electric. It's just being able to control our own destiny would be nice.
You know, it's funny you mentioned the energy and the fact that a lot of people, mostly Republicans, complain that the president, right as soon as he took office, he canceled the pipeline project. Mm-hmm. And from what I've been reading, if we were to reinstate the pipeline project out of Canada into the United States here, yes, it would create a lot of jobs back again that were lost.
Right.
But it wouldn't fix the energy crisis right away. It would be a couple of years before that's taken care of.
Yeah, nothing is going to fix the energy crisis right away. That is something that's going to take time. And, you know, we have to get used to the fact that this is not an overnight fix. And what we've got to do is we've got to get committed to the very best ways to create additional energy, get on the same page about it, and work towards that goal. Mm-hmm. Set a goal, set a time frame, whatever year it may be that's realistic. You hear all of these car companies talk about, we will be 100% electric by 2030. Well, you can throw numbers out all you want, but we've spoken about this. There's not enough infrastructure available for everyone in this country to own an electric vehicle. So what's that mean? There's going to be tremendous investment, R&D and investment, in building up the structure to be able to support this brand new way of life.
Brand new way, absolutely. It's a brand new way of life. Interest rates are still going up, too.
They are, but I really believe that what's going on geopolitically and, you know, around the world, and also what's happening, you know, with the supply chain shortage, with the, you know, the microchip shortage, and the inability for American businesses to put product on the shelf, whether it be from, you know, the Ukraine war and the Russians, you know, withholding oil. And, you know, there's a bunch of other things that are happening as far as, you know, we talked about how the microchip controls everything from washers and dryers to, you know, refrigerators and everything in between, obviously cell phones and laptops and whatnot. But, you know, it's a situation where we really need this economy and we need a little bit of relief. People are not in a situation now where they could stand a huge interest rate hike. And, you know, it's something that hopefully, you know, the Fed understands and doesn't jab us too hard next meeting.
Yeah, and it's very important that we keep an eye on that because this affects our savings and our retirement plans.
Really does. It affects everything. I mean, the rate that they set is probably one of the largest factors in terms of the speed of the economy, whether or not this economy can pick up speed or whether it slows to the point where now we end up in a recession, which is a very real possibility, Rod.
Yeah, I know. I know.
The way things are unfolding, I mean, I'm starting to get concerned about this Russian-Ukraine situation.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, there was some, I guess, diplomatic relations that allowed some people to escape one of the steel mills where they've been living for, you know, months and months and months without the necessities of life. As soon as those folks got out, the bombing began again.
Yes.
So, I mean, I don't know if there's any diplomatic resolution to it, but something's got to be done because Putin is on a mission and someone's got to get in front of him, NATO, hopefully. You know, get in front of him and make him realize that, listen, the world is not going to accept this.
Well, as you know, NATO says they won't get involved unless an actual NATO country like Poland would be attacked in some way by Russia. And inadvertently, that could happen. I mean, for example, Poland did get a lot of its gas and oil from Russia.
Uh-huh.
It's not doing that anymore. They're stopping that.
Yep.
So that could affect Poland, and that could have an impact on NATO as well. But we'll see if NATO gets involved and puts a stop to this bombing and the murder and the killing of civilians over in Ukraine.
Just awful.
You're listening to Marshall Wealth Radio. Mike Marshall, he's right next to me, CEO and founder of Marshall Wealth Management. You know, it's funny. I just realized we've been having such a discussion here about the news and the current events that have been going on. I haven't been giving out your phone number. And it's 857-342-1030. That's 857-342-1030. Now, Marshall Wealth is also on Facebook, so you can check out their Facebook page with a lot of information, including some of the information that you're going to hear today on the program. And, of course, most people are nowadays. He's online, and his website is marshallwealth.com. That's Marshall with two L's, marshallwealth.com. So, Mike, we've got a great tip of the day coming up. We're not going to get to it just yet because it's a very, very important tip of the day that's coming up on the program here on Marshall Wealth Radio. I want to skip to a moment, if you don't mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you don't because I'm going to do it anyway.
All right.
And that's to discuss financial literacy.
Mm-hmm.
Lord knows that I'm not the smartest guy in the world, and math was not one of my best subjects.
Well, you got to leave it to the professionals then, Rod.
That would be you.
That's correct.
That would be you, Mike Marshall.
No, but seriously, everyone in this country deserves a basic knowledge of the fundamentals of saving and investing. Compound interest, how to balance a checkbook. And really, it all starts at home. If you think about it, if your parents are into saving and investing and they're communicating with you about it, maybe setting up a little chart for a goal that you're looking to save for, you know, a new house or, mm-hmm. you know, a condo or something that, you know, you're looking to save for, a long-term goal to show the kids that it does take time to accumulate these things in life. I feel like in today's world, one of the problems is that the kids want everything yesterday. They don't want to wait for it.
Yeah, that's true.
It's just, it's one of those things where they get the wrong idea of how you attain things in life. You know, things are not given to you in life when you want them. The way you earn things in life, financial and otherwise, is to set a goal and work towards that goal until you get the necessary means in order to reach your goal. So it starts at home, but it also should continue in school, Rod. I mean, any grade four maybe is the age. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, grade four would be a grade four, five, or six, I think. Either one of those three.
Now, we're just talking about the fundamentals here. We're not talking about anything crazy. You know, like, what is a checking account?
Right.
You know, so I think in the eighth grade, you should learn what a checking and savings account is. You should also start learning how to build a little savings account based on maybe if you're working around the house and you're getting an allowance, you know, maybe take a little piece of that allowance and put it into something where it's going to grow so that you can see the power of compound interest. But Americans do not like to talk about money.
No, they don't. It's something that I don't even talk about it with my kids about my own money.
Right. And if you think about it, it's a shame because communication is key when you're talking about making sure that the nest egg of the family, all right, is protected, maintained, properly titled, and if God forbid something happens to the owner, that those funds, that nest egg is going to the beneficiaries that the owner wants to get them.
Which is something we're also going to talk about later on in the program.
That's right.
Beneficiaries and how to do that and make sure it's all up to date. But, you know, you were talking about different ways to teach kids about certain things. When I was in high school, right down the road, by the way, here, at Natick High School, we were taught all about life insurance
mm-hmm.
and the differences of different whole life, term life, all this other stuff.
Right.
We were also taught about checkbooks. We weren't taught really much about credit cards.
No, they didn't really exist back then, did they?
They did exist, but there weren't that many.
Sorry, buddy.
That's okay. I have feelings, and it's okay. They didn't have a whole lot of credit cards back then. But we did have savings plans where you went to the bank and you had savings, and
right.
you had to talk about
the Christmas
how much
club.
You were getting. Yes, the Christmas right. club, the
Vacation
layaways
club,
layaways at the store for Christmas.
Where's all that gone?
It's out the window. But these are things that I was taught.
Yeah, see, they don't do that anymore. I mean, I don't understand why we're not teaching kids in high school about basic financial fundamentals. I mean, these are skills that you will be using for the rest of your life. They're not. It's not something where, you know, you're going to learn about the Aztec Indians or some sort of a social study project. You learn all about it. It's great. But then an hour, you know, after the school's out for the year and you're into your first week of summer, you couldn't recall that lesson if you tried.
Yeah, right.
But these financial skills and, you know, the ability to basically have control of your finances and know where the boundaries are so that you don't get in trouble. And you know where you can spend and where you can't spend.
And the younger you start, the better off you are.
No doubt.
Mike's number is 857-342-1030. You want to give him a call and set up an appointment, and he can go through all kinds of things to help you with your estate planning, with your savings planning and everything. Again, that's Mike Marshall at Marshall Wealth Management, 857-342-1030, and MarshallWealth.com online. Marshall with two L's, MarshallWealth.com. And just about everything we've discussed here on the show is on his Facebook page, which is Marshall Wealth and Marshall Wealth Management on Facebook. And you can check that out as well. Now, when we come back on our program here, Marshall Wealth Radio, we've got the tip of the day, and it is a doozy. So stay with us here on WRKO. I'm Rod Fritz. Today's headlines report of record high inflation, escalating interest rates, and military conflicts. If you are entering or in retirement, you likely have feelings of uncertainty. You need a plan, a Marshall Plan. Marshall Wealth Management is a group of experienced financial professionals that provide clients with fully customized, comprehensive financial services, along with a special level of trust and accountability. Marshall Wealth Management provides asset management, retirement income planning, Social Security evaluation, estate planning, and tax accounting. As our headlines change, our planning changes. Challenging times demand solid, smart, and up-to-date planning. Create your Marshall Plan today. Visit MarshallWealth.com. That's Marshall with two L's. Or call Mike Marshall directly at 857-342-1030. 857-342-1030. All right, we are back on Marshall Wealth Radio. I'm Rod Fritz, along with Mike Marshall, CEO and founder of Marshall Wealth Management. You can reach Mike at 857-342-1030, also at MarshallWealth.com, Marshall with two L's, MarshallWealth.com. So, Mike, we said we were going to talk about the tip of the day.
Correct.
And the tip of the day, I consider this actually the tip of the week.
It is the tip of the week, right?
Yeah, kind of is, isn't it? But it is the tip of the day, and the top 10 ways to protect your identity.
Oh, man. You want to talk about an important subject, Rod.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I worry about it all the time.
You should. It is raging out there. These hackers.
Yeah.
These hackers are, they have now sophisticated tools to be able to tap into your online activities. They have, you know, they have the ability to go online and access your Social Security information. I've actually had clients tell me that somebody made a claim on their unemployment before they could.
I had a friend of mine that happened to. Same thing.
I mean, it's incredible what they're doing these days. So I think it's on the top of everyone's mind. And what I wanted to do is give the listeners something to think about what they can do.
So let's go through the top 10 ways to protect your identity.
All right.
Number one is to keep your mail safe.
Right.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, the mail that's delivered to your mailbox, unless you have a lock on your mailbox, which most people don't, do you?
No, I don't either.
So they're saying keep it in a locked mailbox or considering using a P.O. box at the post office. But if you're traveling, always, always put a stop order on your mail delivery.
Sometimes I want people to come and get my mail because they might take care of the bills.
Yeah, that's not going to
happen. But no, that's not going to happen. I don't mean to make a joke of it either. It's very important to keep your mail safe.
Mail fraud is a federal offense.
It is?
Oh, if you're stealing mail out of someone's mailbox,
yeah,
you go to prison for that.
Wow. Number two, read your account statements.
Right. I know it's a pain in the neck. Think about all of the statements that you get for bank accounts, credit cards, investments, IRAs, 401ks, life insurance. It's endless. But be careful when you sign up for electronic statements. Because what I find is that when you sign up for electronic statements, you don't review those statements like you would if you had to open up the envelope.
Mm-hmm.
The opening of the envelope makes me read the statement. Otherwise, why would I open the envelope if I wasn't going to read the statement?
It's true.
Right?
But a lot of these companies have gone paperless.
They have, but it's dangerous to have everything paperless where you're e-delivering every statement because, like I just said, you're going to miss things because I don't think, at least I'm not going to review them the way I would if I get a mailing or a copy in the mail that an envelope I have to open.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, it's funny you say that because I check my bank account statement and credit card statement several times a week. I also check my bank account every day.
Yeah.
And I found just yesterday, I found a charge on there that I checked with my wife, and she didn't make it, and I didn't make it.
Right.
So she's on the phone already.
Absolutely.
To get that squared away.
It's one of the benefits, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're getting statements in the mail and opening the mail, and in between monthly statements, you set up an online secure username and password on the website, you can go there 2-3 times a week, or in your case, you go once a day to check your bank account. I think it's a great idea.
Yeah. All right. Number 3 of the top 10 ways to protect your identity, check your credit report.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's been so many different occasions where people have had negative reports on their credit, and it's not even them. So you're entitled to one free credit report each year from one of the three biggest, Equifax, Experian, TransUnion.
Right.
They're going to give you a free credit report. The way you get to them is by going online, www.annualcreditreport.com. I'm going to say that one more time.
Sure.
www.annualcreditreport.com. And then you can access your information, look for errors, and make sure that there aren't any accounts on there that you don't recognize.
He's Mike Marshall. He is the CEO and founder of Marshall Wealth Management. Online, that's marshallwealth.com. You can call him, set up an appointment, and he can go through a lot of the things that you're listening to right now on Marshall Wealth Radio. Give him a call at 857-342-1030. 857-342-1030. Now, we're just about halfway through of the top 10 ways to protect your identity. And I hear about this all the time. Even the town offers this to us once in a while. Shred. Constantly shred.
Mm. Do you have a shred machine?
I do have a shred machine.
Yeah, I do as well.
Yeah, do I use it? Not much. I have a fire pit that I use, and that comes in pretty handy for these papers.
That's the original shred machine.
Well, I'm an original guy.
You are a throwback, I will say that.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Yes, we know that.
No, but seriously, I mean, thieves and people looking to steal information will definitely go through your garbage mm-hmm. and dumpsters mm-hmm. looking for old statements or any Social Security numbers or anything that they can use to build an identity, and specifically your identity,
yeah.
right? So once you finish with any kind of a financial document, please put it in a shredder. And I advise you having a shredder at home. But if you don't have a shredder at work, I mean at home, maybe you can take it to work and have them shred it. But a shredder is a necessity these days.
Right. And some towns do offer a shredding service once in a while.
I didn't realize
yes,
that.
Yes, they do. At least my town does. And there may be some other towns out there that do it as well. You can check with your local town clerk to find out if they do offer a shredding service once in a while. But the other thing that that I find interesting about shredding is that there are so many different kinds of shredders out there. And like there's a cross-cut shredder
mm-hmm.
and then another kind of shredder that just shreds it in strips.
That's right.
And was the one better than the other?
I don't know. I mean, do some documents require a different shredding technique? I'm not sure.
Yeah, but the other thing, too, a lot of people think if you throw it in your recycle bin and they take it away in the recycling – that's safe enough, and that's not true, is it?
Oh, no. Shred it.
Yeah.
And then put it in the recycling.
Right.
Because those documents are too important to let them get in the wrong hands, that's
okay.
for sure.
Number five of the top 10 ways to protect your identity, store personal documents at home.
Yeah, I know it's easier to have everything in one place, right? Wouldn't we all love to keep everything just in one easy place, like a wallet, or for a woman, it's a purse? But if you have it out with you on a daily basis, your chances of losing it or getting it stolen are much greater than if you just leave your important documents at home. For example, Social Security card. And any credit cards that you don't use on a regular basis, mm-hmm. I advise you to only keep one credit card active at a time anyway. But all the important documents, birth certificates, you know, immigration documents, insurance policy info, bank account information, a nice fireproof lockbox is the way to go.
Okay. Number six, be wary of unknown phone calls and emails.
Yeah, well, with the cell phone, I mean, and the invention of email, mm-hmm. it's the easiest way to get to people. And so what they do is they send out these random emails and they make these automated phone calls. And it's called phishing, Rod.
Mm-hmm.
Not the
yeah.
kind of phishing you like.
I know.
But
phishing with a PH.
Phishing with a PH. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to get you to open that email, click on that link,
mm-hmm.
and that's the beginning of them stealing your identity, stealing your information, and creating a new identity so that they can reap some sort of financial reward.
Yeah. Another thing here, number seven on the list, create difficult logins and passwords. I got to tell you, I got so many passwords, I don't remember them all.
Yeah, I ended up with so many that I signed up for this software, and I love it. It's really helpful because it keeps all my passwords. It's called Keeper.
Keeper.
Mm-hmm. And it's a wonderful software. It allows me to create all the different folders. And I keep all of my username and passwords in there. Mm-hmm. Now, if someone steals my phone, I have a security code, Rod. They can't get into my phone.
All right.
So I'm not worried about having the Keeper app on my phone with all the passwords, because the only way you can get in is through facial recognition.
Oh, my goodness.
One of the best ways to protect your assets, by the way, if you think about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Facial technician.
So create difficult logins and passwords. And we're not talking about 1234 password.
No. And don't make it anything that has to do, like, for example, if you're selecting a Wi-Fi password and you live on 123 Main Street, don't make it 123 Main. All right? Be a little unique. Give it some thought.
Okay. All right. Use one credit card for online shopping.
Right. So that way there, it's easier to track, right?
Right.
I mean, if you're only using one card, you certainly have a better chance of catching someone who's trying to do something mm-hmm. with one card.
Yeah. Keep your security or virus or spyware software up to date.
So important.
Absolutely.
So important, because that's the method by which they try to get to you, is either through the email or the online link mm-hmm. or some sort of an online device that they're going to tap into your information. And so this Norton antivirus, and, you know, I have LifeLock.
LifeLock. Yeah, you see heard a lot of commercials of LifeLock.
Yeah, but whatever it is, if you're thinking about investing in an antivirus or some sort of identity theft software, please do it.
Yeah.
It's very, very good investment.
And number 10 on the top 10 ways to protect your identity, this is really interesting. Be social media savvy.
Mm-hmm.
Some people aren't on Facebook, you know.
Who?
Some people are not on Twitter.
I thought everybody was on Facebook.
No, they're not. No. They're not.
No, but there's literally millions and millions of people that are on Facebook. And one of the things you'll see a lot is, check us out. We're in Aruba, or we're in the islands, or we're in Hawaii and, having a great time. Well, Rod, you just gave the thief all the information they need to get to your house and take whatever they want, right?
Yeah.
So be social media savvy, meaning don't be telling people online that you're not at home or you're not in town.
Right.
It's you're just making yourself more vulnerable.
Well, this stuff is very interesting, Mike. And if you want to hear more and talk to Mike personally about this, give him a call. He's Mike Marshall. He's the CEO and the founder of Marshall Wealth Management. 857-342-1030. You can also reach him online at marshallwealth.com. That's Marshall with two L's, marshallwealth.com. And he's on Facebook, speaking of social media, and their Facebook page is Marshall Wealth Management. So when we, you know, I think we're into top 10 lists this week on Marshall Wealth Radio, Mike, because when we come back, we're going to go over some of the estate planning mistakes that people make, the top 10 estate planning mistakes that people make. And I know I'm one of them. So stay with us here on WRKO. Okay, we are back on Marshall Wealth Radio and WRKO, and I'm Rod Fritz. Sitting beside me here is Mike Marshall. He is the CEO and founder of Marshall Wealth Management. Online, you can reach Mike at marshallwealth.com, and you can give him a call at 857-342-1030. Anything you've heard on the program here, you can call up and tell him you'd like to hear more about that. We just went through how to protect your identity and some of the top 10 things to do to protect your identity. But now, Mike, we are going to move on to the top 10 estate planning mistakes that people make.
A very important subject.
And I would think that there are a lot of them. And by the way, estate planning is something that you're heavily involved in.
We are, and it's one of the seven key areas of financial planning. So we're a proponent of what we call comprehensive wealth management, and so we deal in all seven areas. And estate planning is one of those areas,
right? And as we look over the top 10 estate planning mistakes in Massachusetts, mistake number one is believing that having a will allow you to avoid probate. That's what I thought.
No, that's a misnomer. And, you know, believe it or not, a will is only for probate assets. So it's almost the exact opposite of the question. So if you have assets that are titled in your individual name at death, those assets have to be frozen and put through probate before they can get to the beneficiaries. So the will is really for only for assets that have to go through probate. For example, your 401k, your IRA, any of those tax-deferred assets, an annuity and life insurance, they have a named beneficiary. So anything with a named beneficiary would not have to go through probate and therefore would not be subject to the will. So the named beneficiary is more powerful than what the will says. Remember that when you're titling things like your life insurance, your 401k, your 403b, that the person you put down as your beneficiary supersedes any kind of a legal document that you may have done, including your will.
Wow, that's very, very good advice. All right, mistake number two of estate planning mistakes in Massachusetts: failing to understand the difference between the federal estate tax and the Massachusetts estate tax.
Big difference. I mean, you want to talk about a difference?
Yeah.
The federal tax exemption is $11.7 million, and the state of Massachusetts exemption is only $1
million.
So, Rod, would you be subject to the federal estate tax if, God forbid, something happened to you yesterday? It's $11.7 million.
No.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Well, believe it or not, most people are in our boat. They are not subject to the federal estate tax, currently at $11.7 million. And all that means is that if all of your assets total $11.7 million when you die, mm-hmm. you are now subject to a whole new federal tax.
Okay.
So, like we talk about it, an earned dollar. They tax it when you make it. They tax it when you save it. They tax it when you pass it on.
Right.
Right.
So what you're saying is if your asset, if your net worth, mm-hmm. okay, mm-hmm. Everything's figured out. If it's under $11.7 million,
right.
you don't have to worry about a federal estate tax.
Correct. But remember, that does include life insurance. So, I mean, some people have $2, $3 million life insurance policies on them.
Yeah, that's true.
They don't realize that for federal and state, that life insurance is part of that calculation.
Mm-hmm.
But for the state of Massachusetts, the exemption amount is only $1 million. So, you know, more people than you think could be over that $1 million mark, especially when you consider life insurance proceeds.
Mm.
I mean, I know people that have $500,000, $1 million life insurance, and then they have their assets, and then they have some real estate. So, well over $1 million, those folks need to do some estate tax planning so that they can exempt themselves in the best possible way from an estate tax at their second death in Massachusetts.
And one way to do that is to call Mike Marshall at Marshall Wealth Management at 857-342-1030. Look him up online at marshallwealth.com. Check him out on Facebook at Marshall Wealth Management on Facebook social media.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're talking about estate planning mistakes that people do here in Massachusetts. Mistake number three, believing that after your death, your children will divide your personal property. And this, in the spirit of cooperation, I laugh because nothing makes brothers and sisters fight more than divvying up a will.
That is for sure.
Yeah. So believing that after you die, your children will divide your personal property in the spirit of cooperation.
Right. Well, I don't know about your family, but I have seen many, many families never speak again after an estate planning meeting to divide assets from a deceased loved one. And it's just awful because, you know, money should not take precedent over family, but it often does. So what I recommend, and I recommend this especially for like those personal family heirlooms, the mementos that were close to mom or close to dad. The kids are going to fight over those if there's no instruction on who those should be left to. And so what we recommend is that with your will, your durable power of attorney, your health care proxy, and maybe a family trust, that you also leave a memorandum, a personal memorandum, listing all of those items that are near and dear to your heart so that there's no fighting amongst the kids.
Mm.
And you may even want to talk to them about it before you pass, because that way there, if they're good with it, when you're talking about what your intention is, then you can have peace of mind knowing that there's not going to be a lot of issues after you're gone.
So if someone writes a memorandum,
mm-hmm.
like just writes, you know, this particular china set should go to so-and-so.
Yes.
And it's not in the will.
Right.
Does that hold up?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's good to know, though.
Yeah, they have to sign it.
Well, yeah, right, yeah. Right.
Once they sign it, then it's a legal document.
Right. Okay. All right. And if you want to question Mike about this, and I'm sure you might have a lot of questions regarding that, because you don't want the family to split up over something as silly as a china set, for crying out loud. Marshall Wealth Management at 857-342-1030. He's Mike Marshall. MarshallWealth.com on the website. Again, the phone number is 857-342-1030. And we return now to the mistakes that people make in estate planning in Massachusetts. Mistake number four, believing a durable power of attorney continues to be effective after death.
Big mistake.
Big mistake, huh?
Yeah, because people don't realize that a durable power of attorney is only useful while the person is alive. So I'll give you an example.
Yeah.
Let's say that I made my brother my durable power of attorney in case I became incapacitated, right?
Mm-hmm.
Unable to make financial decisions on my behalf. So I wanted him to be available to act as my power of attorney if I couldn't make these important decisions on my own.
Mm-hmm.
But once I pass, that power of attorney is null and void.
Really?
Yes, it's null and void. And so it's sad because I've seen situations where a relative will walk in with a client's power of attorney and say to me, you know, well, I've got the power of attorney for my brother's account that you're managing, and, you know, I'd like to do this and that and the other thing. And I say, well, unfortunately, that power of attorney is null and void, and I can't accept your instructions. It could be that the account needs to now go through probate. And he thought that the power of attorney was going to allow him to access the account after his brother's death. But his brother didn't have him on as a joint owner. He just had him as the power of attorney. And that didn't work in that case because his brother obviously had already passed. So these power of attorneys are only good while the person is alive.
Okay. Number five, failing to fund your revocable living trust.
Yeah, this one is very, very common. And I think the reason is because a lack of communication between the attorneys who draw up the documents and the clients who ask for the documents to be drawn up. So what I'm trying to say there is that I've seen clients walk into my office and I'll ask them if they have an estate plan, and they'll have a 4-inch thick binder with all of their documents in it. And I'll read through them and I'll see that, oh, wow, so you've got a trust in here. Oh, yeah, yeah, we've got the trust, the family trust all set up. I say, okay, can I see the assets that you've titled in the name of the trust to protect the assets? Well, what do you mean? They don't even know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So my point is that once you create a trust, it's just a stack of papers until you literally title the assets in the name of that trust. That's where the protection comes in.
Huh, very, very interesting. All right, mistake number, again, you know, I have to tell you, folks, some of this stuff may sound complicated, and it's not.
Not for us.
No, and that's why you want to call Mike Marshall at 857-342-1030, 857-342-1030. And for those of you using a rotary phone, that would be 857-342-1030. That just went over everyone's head. MarshallWealth.com is your website. That's Marshall with two L's, MarshallWealth.com. All right, number six of the top 10 estate planning mistakes in Massachusetts. Failing to review beneficiary designations and asset ownership.
Again, ultra, ultra important, especially the beneficiary designations, because they supersede anything that's in the will. So the beneficiary designations, in my eyes, should be checked every year. I know it sounds ridiculous, but you don't know. You never know. And so please stay on top of your beneficiary designations and make sure that you title your assets in the name of your trust, or if you must, title them jointly for now until you have a family trust. But do not have assets in your individual name.
You know, we discussed this on a previous program here at Marshall Wealth Radio about the importance of making sure that your beneficiary designation and the asset ownership is up to date.
That's right.
Because, believe it or not, beneficiaries die sometimes before you do.
They do, and what happens...
Or you get divorced.
Yeah, life events, just going through life.
That's a good way to put it, life events.
Right, death... Divorce,
right.
Division, anything like that is going to create a need to go back and review your estate planning documents.
Right.
Okay? The reason being is because, again, if you have someone listed as a beneficiary, whether it be on your life insurance, your 401k, whatever it is, and you're no longer with that person, if something happens to you, there's nothing the courts can do. You might have a will. But the will doesn't supersede the beneficiary designation, and that's where the problem comes in.
Right.
People don't realize that.
So if Well, we'll talk more about this, I know, on future programs. We're right here kind of in the middle of the top 10 estate planning mistakes in Massachusetts, and we're going to continue on with this list here on Marshall Wealth Radio. We're going to take a quick little break here, but I want to throw out this phone number for Mike Marshall one more time here. Because, you know, people have trouble sometimes remembering a phone number, and I would encourage you to write this down. 857-342-1030, 857-342-1030, or marshallwealth.com. We'll be right back on Marshall Wealth Radio right here on WRKO. I'm Rod Fritz. Today's headlines report of record high inflation, escalating interest rates, and military conflicts. If you are entering or in retirement, you likely have feelings of uncertainty. You need a plan, a Marshall Plan. Marshall Wealth Management is a group of experienced financial professionals that provide clients with fully customized, comprehensive financial services, along with a special level of trust and accountability. Marshall Wealth Management provides asset management, retirement income planning, Social Security evaluation, estate planning, and tax accounting. As our headlines change, our planning changes. Challenging times demand solid, smart, and up-to-date planning. Create your Marshall Plan today. Visit MarshallWealth.com. That's Marshall with two L's. Or call Mike Marshall directly at 857-342-1030. 857-342-1030. All right, we're back here on Marshall Wealth Radio on WRKO. I'm Rod Fritz. Along with Mike Marshall, he is the CEO and the founder of Marshall Wealth Management. And Mike, we are right smack dab, well, pretty much in the middle of the top 10 estate planning mistakes in Massachusetts. We're up to number 7. And number 7 is attempting to avoid probate by jointly titling assets.
Right. So we've spoken in the past about how you don't want to own any assets in your individual name. The easy and quick and dirty way around it is to have a jointly titled account.
Okay.
But in my opinion, that's not the best way to own the asset. The best way to own the asset is in a trust. That's the safest, most secure way to own the asset. It also provides creditor protection. You know, if it's a jointly held account and one of the owners passes, now you've got a situation where the surviving owner is now owning the account individually, and now that account will be subject to probate and probably would be put into some sort of a trust anyway.
Mm, wow.
And there's also a third way to title assets. It's called a TOD, a transfer on death. So the way that works is that I would own my checking account in my name alone, and I would be the only person that could go to the bank and write checks, make withdrawals and deposits in my account. However, I would have a transfer on death designation at the bank naming my wife as the beneficiary of my checking account if I passed. I know a lot of people, especially people that have been married a long time, they have separate checking accounts. Well, I'm sure that if, God forbid, something happened to one of them, they would want the other to be able to access the money in the account. And a TOD, a transfer on death, takes care of that. Whereby if you continue to own them individually in your own names and something happens, now the money is frozen. You can't even get it to your spouse until it goes through probate.
So even if you have a joint account, if you have a single, this will work if you have a joint account too, right? But what you're saying is if you have an individual account, you need that beneficiary in order for the funds to then transfer over.
Correct. If you have a joint account, the beneficiary is automatically the other person.
Right.
But that creates a problem whereby now that survivor is on the account by themselves. So there you have the issue of owning individual assets again.
Can they then name a beneficiary?
Yes, they can. And that's exactly what they should do.
Yeah.
And that was actually one of the mistakes that we talked about in the previous session was not going back and checking titles and beneficiaries.
Okay.
So it all ties in together, Rod.
I'll tell you. He's Mike Marshall. He is quite the guy here. And I want you to know how you can reach him at Marshall Wealth Management, 857-342-1030. Also online at marshallwealth.com. And you have a Facebook page, right, Mike?
We do. We have a great Facebook page with lots of superstar information. And also, too, the website.
Right.
Just an amazing array of information. You can see all this stuff for yourself, access it free of charge, and then print it out so that you can read it and get back to us with questions.
Right. And you can get back to Mike by calling him at 857-342-1030. Now, before we continue on with number eight,
mm-hmm.
because you mentioned this to me in the break, a lot of the stuff we've talked about, it sounds like a lawyer speaking.
Right, right.
You're not an attorney, though.
No, as a matter of fact, that's the whole premise of our firm, and the way we built the firm was that we have an expert or a specialist in each of the seven categories that make up comprehensive financial planning.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, an estate planner is one of those categories, and we have one of the best, in my opinion, in attorney Tim McAloon from Quincy. He's a 35-year veteran in the business. He's one of the most sought-after estate planning attorneys on the South Shore because of his extensive business and tax knowledge.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
that is awesome.
He's impressive.
That's terrific. All right. Back to the top 10 estate planning mistakes in Massachusetts. Number eight, believing you can wait until you are old to get an estate plan.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of people out there who don't think they need an estate plan. First of all, let's just say that this is a really tough subject, right?
Yeah.
Who wants to talk about this stuff?
Right. Yeah, true. It is tough.
I mean, come on in, you and your wife,
mm-hmm.
and we'll talk about your demise. How's that? Does that sound like fun?
That sounds...
Yeah, that sounds like fun, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's brutal. So they wonder why people don't have comprehensive estate plans in place before they die, because it's a miserable subject, and nobody really wants to deal with it. But again, we will, and we do. And that's why I think you need to let us take control of making sure that your goals and objectives are met from your, not just your financial plan, but your estate plan as well. Because you know, as we've said in the past, financial, tax, and legal, they all go together, Rod.
Right. And the other thing, too, is you don't know how old you're going to be when you die.
That's right. I mean, if you don't have a plan, if you don't know how old you're going to be when you die, then you need a plan, right?
Right. Right.
And especially in Massachusetts, where the estate tax exemption is only $1 million.
Correct. Yeah.
You don't have to be a multimillionaire to cost your beneficiaries thousands and thousands of dollars in Massachusetts estate tax, because what they do, Rod, is if you have $950,000 when you die, you're okay. But as soon as you get to $1 million, they go back to $1. So that's where they get you.
Oh, my goodness.
It's not like...
So it's $1 million, not $1 million and a penny.
Correct. As soon as you hit that million... Right back to $1 with the estate tax rate.
All right. He's Mike Marshall. I'm Rod Fritz. We're on the Marshall Wealth Radio program, and you can reach Mike at 857-342-1030. Easy to remember, 857-342-1030. MarshallWealth.com is his website. All right. Back to the top 10 mistakes that people make on estate planning in Massachusetts. Number nine. Failing to plan for your minor child's inheritance.
Yes, this is something that both married people, divorced people, anybody with children really needs to think about.
Right.
Because let's face it, none of us are getting out of here alive, Rod.
Right.
At least last I checked. So this money and the assets have to go somewhere. And normally, I mean, under most circumstances, people want them to go to their children. So... if you're not planning some sort of a strategy and you have minor children, then I think you're doing them a disservice. I think you need to make sure that, God forbid, in the event you passed while they were still minors, that there's a plan in place to make sure that that money is preserved and protected for them, so that when they're old enough to make a decision on their own, they can decide what they want to do with the money.
Now, a minor children is under 18, right?
Right.
Because 18 is the age of majority here in Massachusetts.
Yes, it is.
All right. Okay. So make sure that if you have minor children, even though you're not planning on dying anytime soon, that you make the appropriate changes to make sure that they will get what is in your will or estate or
your nest egg.
Your nest egg, yeah.
Right. And the other thing, too, is that, you know, the minors, I mean, imagine having a plan where at 18, something happens to you and your wife, God forbid, and your 18-year-old son gets $2.5 million.
Right.
Think about that. It's pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, that
right?
is, yeah.
So what I always recommend is that you establish some sort of a trust for the minor, and that the minor is not legally deemed to own the money. The trust is the owner, okay? And there would be a beneficiary, which would be the minor, right? There would be a trustee that would execute the terms of the trust. So, for example, I've seen them in the past where clients will say, at age 25, you get $100,000. At age 30, you get another 50% of what's left. And then finally, at age 40, you get the balance of the account. So they give it to them in stages.
Right.
It's just a safer way to distribute the funds to minors, basically, and to people who are not used to handling large sums of money. They can fall through their fingertips very easily.
Oh, yeah. I don't know what would happen if an 18-year-old got a hold of a $2 million, all in one lump sum. You know what I'm saying?
I know what my grandson would buy.
A bunch of Xbox games.
A Bugatti.
Okay. Hey, he's Mike Marshall, and you can reach him at 857-342-1030, 857-342-1030, also at marshallwealth.com on the web. That's Marshall with two L's, marshallwealth.com. All right, we're up to number 10 here. We're up to number 10, and number 10 is forgetting to plan for the succession of your business.
Yes. So this doesn't apply to individuals, but this does apply to business owners. And I mean small, medium, and large. So all business owners are in business until something happens that makes them either want to get out of business or forced to get out of business. Well, what happens to the business? Does the business just disappear? Hmm. What happens to the debt? What happens to the customers? What happens to the other employees? So every business, and it sounds so official, doesn't a business succession plan?
Yeah, it does.
It's intimidating to think about it like that, but all it is, it's a plan for the succession of your business. If something happens to you, something happens to your partner, or if you're in a situation where one of you wants to retire, you need to have some terms in place to end that relationship and allow the business to continue on successfully, hopefully.
Oh, that. So that being said and done here, Mike, bottom line that I know you'll be able to answer is, what happens if I die without a valid will here in Massachusetts?
That's a great question. And the fact that we just spent 15, 20 minutes
yeah.
talking about how important estate planning is, what happens if you don't have an estate plan? So if you die
right.
without a will in Massachusetts, you are known to be died intestate. So you have died intestate in a state where there is no will for you. The state will create a will for you. What that means is that they're going to do what they think is right
goodness.
And not what you think is right.
That sounds like trouble.
No, it's not a good situation at all. And it's really something that is avoidable. You know, a will is not something that has to be so complex. It can be something that's very simple, very straightforward. And what it does is it gives you peace of mind.
Mm-hmm.
At least mine does.
Yeah, me too.
You know, it gives me peace of mind to know that if something happened to me last night, I always say last night because it didn't, Rod.
Right.
But if something happened to me last night, I know the wife, my children, and my grandchildren are going to be just fine because I have a will and I have all my assets titled properly. But if you don't have a will and you don't have instructions for what happens, the state is going to figure it out. So surviving family members, parents, they'll get, if you have parents but no surviving spouse or descendants, your parents will get everything.
Okay.
If you have no surviving spouse but surviving children, 100% will be split among the children equally.
Okay.
There'll be no favorites.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
Uh-huh.
if you have a spouse but no surviving descendants or parents, 100% goes to your spouse. And then if you have surviving descendants and surviving spouse, where all surviving descendants are also descendants of the surviving spouse, it goes to the spouse and parents. So okay. we are in a situation where it makes sense to just get your will done.
Right. Absolutely. And it's easy and simple, too, by the way. He's Mike Marshall, CEO and founder of Marshall Wealth Management. You're listening to Marshall Wealth Radio. I'm Rod Fritz. And the way to reach Mike, give him a call, something you've heard on the program, 857-342-1030. 857-342-1030.
The views and opinions expressed herein are those of the participants of the show and may or may not represent the views of Capital Analysts or Lincoln Investment. The material presented is provided for informational purposes only. All investments are subject to risk, including the risk of principal loss. Advisory services offered through Capital Analysts or Lincoln Investment, registered investment advisors. Securities offered through Lincoln Investment, broker-dealer, member FINRA, SIPC. www.lincolninvestment.com. Marshall Wealth Management and the above firms are independent and not affiliated. Insurance, legal, tax, or Social Security claiming services are not offered through or supervised by the Lincoln Investment Companies. WRKO and Rod Fritz are not affiliated with Lincoln Investment or Capital Analysts. The case study shared is to provide a general representation of the types of services provided. There is no assurance that the techniques and strategies discussed are suitable for all investors or will yield positive outcomes.